great song.
All right, well, I'm spoiler alert. I read Richard Roper's review of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
We're just trying to get your $16, I think is the name of that film.
Damn it. I was really hoping this one would be good.
I was too.
I love the Jurassic Park movies.
And Mr. Roper has just stepped into the studio, and I believe that Mr. Roper, let's just get right to it, because let's just get it out of the way.
Dirty details.
Well, it's called Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, which is a very appropriate title, because they're destroying the Jurassic Park kingdom, the franchise itself. First of all, you go back to 1993, and that original, the Steven Spielberg film, is so great. And when you realize what they did with the relatively limited CGI and special effects with those dinosaurs and all of that, it's a revolutionary film. Mm-hmm. It's one of the touchstones of all CGI films and adventures, and such a great idea. Mm-hmm. Bring the dinos back to life, and then they turn on you, right? Well, they always end up doing that. Yeah. So now we're all the way up to Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. This is
Number is this?
This would be the fifth. There were three in the 90s, and then in 2015, they brought it back with Jurassic World. And one of the things I liked about the 2015 edition was they acknowledged what happened in the 90s. This was set literally like 25 years later because, kids were wearing retro Jurassic Park t-shirts. They had heard about this great amusement park that had long since been destroyed. Now they brought it back. And once again, once the dinosaurs were mistreated and let out in the wild, it's man versus dinosaur. So now it's Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. This is set 3 years after the events of 2015. So your main characters are your Bryce Dallas Howard, who was sort of the curator of the dino theme park.
Really,
and then Chris Pratt, who's the dino whisperer, right? He does the little thing where he goes, and then the raptor remembers him. Look, it's me. I used to be on Parks and Rec, but now I'm in good shape, and I'm an action hero from this and Guardians of the Galaxy. So they're back. And now, in this case, of course, there was a disaster on the theme park 3 years ago. It's been closed down.
Right.
Now a volcano is erupting on that island, right? A giant, huge volcano. So all the dinosaurs that have survived are going to be extinct. So now they're going to have Senate hearings, and they have to decide, should we let the volcano erupt and destroy all the dinosaurs, or should we maybe go get about a dozen of them and bring them back to the United States, King Kong style?
Because
what
could
possibly go wrong there? That's the setup. And we always talk about the fact, it's a dinosaur movie, and I realize that you already have to take that leap of faith. But within that world, you still have to have believable things happening and people acting in ways that they would act. And instead, people are either stupid or so corrupt and evil that they make every wrong decision. And whoever makes the cages, that house, whether it's the King Kong apes or the Jurassic Park dinosaurs, they should be out of business. Because those cages, you always got the obligatory guy that goes, this cage could hold anything. My great-grandfather designed the Titanic, which was unsinkable. And then there's just one latch. Just one little latch. And all you have to do is unhook it. Or when the dinosaur gets really mad, they break through the steel cage as if it's made of paper. When will they learn? So all of these things happen. I hated this movie. I give it 1.5 stars because it was so stupid. And because it's like the acting. I like Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard a lot. But it just feels like you could almost see them looking at the tennis ball on a string that's going to stand in for the dinosaur while they're doing it. It's a hard thing to do. To appear as if you're in the same room with the dinosaurs. Now, they do have some that are animatronic and puppet type creations, and thousands of people worked really hard to make them believable. You could always tell the difference when they're just green screen and when there are 12 men underneath the table working all the fingers and claws and arms and stuff of the dinosaur. So it never really blends well. And then you just have it is the stupidest plot. The idea is, and you get this a lot in these movies, you always get some arms dealer who thinks, you know what we can do? We can weaponize these creatures. They're going to be the way better than any soldier. And we're going to program them with a chip. And then a bunch of evil, corrupt Eastern European warlords literally come to the estate where these dinosaurs are, and they have a bidding war, and they bring them out on a big runway like a fashion show.
Oh my god!
And they're like, and this is the raptor, the meanest of them all. Do I hear 12 million, 14 million, and all these evil Ruskies bid on the raptors that they're going to turn into weapons. That's the setup of this movie.
I happen to think that that's the most believable part of everything you have just explained.
Weaponize them.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing. The Russians and the whole deal.
I just kind of feel like,
right.
Put them in space. Evil. Put them in Space Force.
Well, maybe. Or how about Dino Force?
Dino Force.
New idea.
Start
Hold
that
on.
Department of the military.
Getting rid
New
of the
branch.
Army. Dino Force.
But is it one of those movies that's still going to do well?
It's going to do great. Yeah. It's already doing huge. They did a smart thing, too. They released it worldwide 2 weeks before they released it in the States. Because, I mean, there are certainly critics across the world, but the critical and word of mouth means mm-hmm. less, usually, in a lot of those markets. People, there are not as many movies to see.
Mm-hmm.
And like in markets like China, they love to go to see the American movies. So it's already made like $500,000. And it'll still make a lot of money here.
Half
but
a,
it's
half billion.
Half a billion. Half a million the first day. And it'll make $120, $130 million here this weekend in the United States. But it's not a good movie. And it kind of sets up a cool sequel. I will say that. What happens at the end does set up a pretty cool sequel, but
I'm surprised that they would do something like that.
But it really is a fall. 1.5 stars for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Really bad.
And also, and I'm going to spoil this because I think this isn't fair for the fans who love Jeff Goldblum and mm-hmm. they're like, oh, Jeff Goldblum's coming back. He is in about 1% of this movie. And his scenes are separate from everyone else. He said he has two scenes that were clearly filmed separately from everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
It's just his character. He must have spent 2 days on the set at most.
Is he doing a real estate commercial from the same set?
Pretty much. You know, get you to your apartment, right?
Yeah.
You know, the inventor of the apartment. So, you know, it would be really cool if he had returned and interacted with the new generation and warned them. But that's not what's happening here.
So go see Incredibles 2 if you have, like, a kid.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's going to do great business. I saw it.
Will little kids like it?
Yeah, it's not.
Probably,
it's
right?
not. Yeah, I mean, it's a little intense, but it's always those scenes, you know, where, you know, the dinosaur swoops in on the human being and chomps its head and you hear a little crackling noise. But you don't see, like, the head exploding and the blood, you know, shooting out all over the place. It's more like that. And I also hate these movies where they turn, at some point, they'll turn these dinosaurs, one in particular, basically into a stalker in a horror movie where it's able to, like, you know, run down the hallway and open doors. And at one point, it's even kind of like tapping its claws like a finger, mm-hmm. like waiting for someone and like lifting the covers up as if it has a personal vendetta against the one individual that it's trying to get.
That's
insane.
Bite
that is
the head
a little too human for me.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of that. Yeah. Exactly. Like that's the
a lot of human crunching.
Yeah. There's a lot of human crunching. And, you know, lots of scenes in the water. You know, you can tell they spent a boatload of money with all the extras and all the running around, but you know the opening scene where you're on a, you know, this giant volcano, so you get the volcano erupting all over the place, plus the dinosaurs are running for their lives, plus the mercenaries are there trying to round up the dinosaurs, and I'm like, okay, pick a thriller scene. Don't have seven at once. And the guy who's the head of the American team bringing the dinosaurs back is the same guy who was Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs. So you know, never trust that guy.
Oh. Does he get eaten, too?
I'm not going to say.
I bet he does.
Richard Roper, brought to you by Archideck.
Thank you.
Chicagoland.com.
Thank you, thank you for bringing me.
You're welcome. All right, let's check it. What other movies are we... Oh, yeah, TV series we want to talk about,
we're
too.
We're talking about a big-time TV series and a documentary that Chicagoans in particular I think
that
are really going to find interesting.
All right, let's find out what Judy's doing in the newsroom right now.
It's just a jacket, or is it?
Violetta?
It's never just a jacket. This week on Chicago's Best, the team's bringing you the best bites on the streets. It's all new Chicago's Best Street Food this Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
All right, Richard Roper is here. He did not like Jurassic Park. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, Fallen Kingdom.
Okay, 1.5 stars.
Do you want to talk about Yellowstone TV series?
Yes.
Interesting.
Kevin Costner, right?
Kevin Costner movie.
Yeah, and this is on the Paramount Network, and you have to just check your local listings. And it used to be Spike TV.
Okay.
Now it's the Paramount Network.
So if you have
Network.
Spike, you have Paramount.
Yes, and it's a basic cable network, so I don't think you'd pay an explicit premium. But because it's cable, you can have the language and the nudity and the violence and everything in these series.
They have commercials, too.
So, yes, there are commercials. So, you know, if know that going into it. Like
plan the, accordingly.
The 10,
like
12 minutes into it, go like, oh, wait a minute. What,
but
is
it's
it
like Mad Men was like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
People put up with it.
And, well, and the
Walking
thing is,
Dead.
And you know, and in those cases too, of course, you know, the people making those shows knew there were going to be commercial breaks, so they, you know, there's a different way of pacing and you know, putting in break points in the show or the movie itself if you know they're going to be commercial breaks, as opposed to a lot of times when you watch a theatrical movie on TV and like half Rocky's just about to punch Apollo and all of a sudden it'll just go to a commercial break and you come back and they just kept the movie running during the commercial break.
Oh, I hate that.
You gotta cut me, Mick. You gotta, wait a minute, I thought Rocky was hitting Apollo. So this is, you know, paced accordingly. And the creator of this show is Taylor Sheridan. We've talked about him. He was on Sons of Anarchy. He played the deputy police chief. He's also one of the greatest film writers in recent years. He wrote Sicario and the upcoming Sicario 2, Hell or High Water with Jeff Bridges, and Wind River. You know, three great movies, and he specializes in these kind of either Western or kind of Western theme. This Yellowstone is set on a ranch in Montana, the Yellowstone Ranch. It's set in present day, but it really has a feel of an old-fashioned Western. And Kevin Costner plays the patriarch of the ranch. Kevin Costner in a cowboy hat.
That's awesome.
You can't do better than that, right?
Perfect.
And he is, and unlike Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic World, he's the star of this series. I think it's, I want to say, eight episodes. And I think they'll decide after that if there's going to be a second season, but I think it's pretty much self-contained.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a ranch in Montana that is the size of Rhode Island. So he's the most powerful person probably in Montana,
wow.
And he wants to keep his ranch going. It's adjacent to an Indian reservation where there's a lot of battles going on there. So like when his cattle wander onto their land, they're like, oh, those are ours now because this is our land. We don't recognize your authority.
Ooh.
And then the cowboys and the Indians, if you will, go at it. So it's got an Old West feel where the law just is like, a lot of Old West movies where the sheriff always comes in and says, I don't want any part of this. You guys figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
Very complex, great relationships. Kevin Costner's got a bunch of bunch of grown sons and a daughter. Some of them are very successful. Others, you know, are very disappointing to him. And it's all about the relationships between the Native Americans, the politicians, and then those on the Yellowstone Ranch. And man, this is some intense stuff. The first 5 minutes of this series is bloody. And a gun is fired, and most people will go like, I can't believe they just showed what they showed there. And
wow.
I don't want to say any more than that.
Gets your
great
attention.
Acting in this. We'll get a real quick clip here. This is Kevin Costner and Wes Bentley, who's a great actor. He's been around since American Beauty. You might remember him. He was the kind of strange kid next door.
Mm-hmm.
He plays his son, who's a lawyer. And here's Kevin Costner as the father explaining the ways of the world to his son.
All right. Alan asked me to mention it, so I will. It allows to harvest the timber before this.
No. Answer's no.
Yeah. Can I do this?
Yeah. When you say no, it must be the death of the question.
I understand.
If there's even a hint of maybe, the questions won't stop until they find something you can't say no to.
Mm-hmm.
You got to learn when to think like a lawyer, you understand? And when to think like a landowner. A lawyer is all you're ever going to be.
Oh.
Laying it out for him there. And Danny Houston, another great character actor, plays the obligatory developer who wants to take some of that land and put up million-dollar condos with the greatest views of nature. But, of course, we're going to have to destroy nature to put up those condos. And there's some great battles there between, you know, none of these people are rubes or fools. That's the thing. You know, Kevin Costner's character, he's up against some really smart, cunning people, too. But, man, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens in this thing. It's got a little feel almost like Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, the, you know, you're not sure who to root for, but you kind of love the bad guys. But everybody, there's different degrees of bad and good in this.
All right, this is called Yellowstone.
Yellowstone.
I'm intrigued by this one.
On the Paramount Network, which is on your cable or your satellite, because it used to be Spike TV.
Yes.
So they've rebranded and they've started with this, and it's 8 episodes.
Yes. It premiered last night, so you can probably already call that up. And that was a 2-hour, like almost full movie premiere. And then it'll be about an hour in subsequent episodes.
Wow. And you just can't go wrong with Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
In a cowboy hat.
Are there Tatanka there?
Maybe.
At any point, does he put his fingers over his head and go, Tatanka?
It's possible.
Yeah, all right.
It's possible.
That's his best. That's his best role of all time. All right, I'm the only person alive. Only person alive.
That what?
That like that Rumor Has It movie. I love that movie.
Oh, my God, I loved it.
Yeah. See, there you go. Oh, that was
you
sweet.
And Violetta.
Yeah.
You thought that she kissed her dad.
Oh, jeez.
That was awesome.
It's like Star Wars all over again. The
yeah,
and the
I'm
sister.
Still not sure she didn't. That was the only problem with them.
And she kind of liked it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Well, Rudy Giuliani would love it.
Okay. And Cousins. did you want to mention this documentary?
Three stars for Yellowstone. And very quickly, there's a documentary called The Bill Murray Stories. Check it out. You know, we've all heard these stories about Bill Murray showing up at somebody's wedding or like washing dishes at a college party or, you know, jumping in a kickball game. Well, the documentary filmmaker had kind of a cool idea. He finds all the people that have had, not all the people, but a lot of people that have Bill Murray stories, and they tell the story. And of course, they've got the photos and the videos to prove it, that it's not an urban legend. And it's a really cool examination of why Bill Murray does this. His essential purpose for doing this is he wants to live a regular life, at least for one evening. So when he does this, he doesn't do it to be the center of attention. He does it to kind of blend in. Mm-hmm. So he hangs around long enough that people get used to the fact that Bill Murray's washing the dishes in the kitchen, or Bill Murray's playing tambourine with the house band. And then he disappears as fast as he came. And he's been doing it for 20 years. So it's a cool, neat little documentary called The Bill Murray Stories. There are stories about Bill Murray. The director himself tries to meet Bill Murray, and I will say that he does have an encounter with him, and I'll leave it at that.
Oh,
very
Bill Murray stories. Mm-hmm. Yeah, check it out.
All right. Okay. All right. Let's check out now Judy's News, which is coming your way in 2 minutes.